Yeah, we praying to him. He went to Florida.
Yeah.
It was really Pentecostal and didn't look like Vineyard. But there are some other ones, like Felipe, you know? Felipe, he came out of a different church.
I think let's just weave that in to that sort of developing leaders section. You know what I mean? Because that feels right on, and we did talk about that before.
Yeah. Justin, one observation. Where it says content section 2, developing leaders, right below my name, I see the 4 different ways of supporting La Viña, the 4 levels of commitment.
Oh, yeah.
But then you have them again in content section number 3.
Yeah, let's pull them out. Sorry, I'll pull them out of 4.
Okay.
Or 2, and then we'll just talk about them in and of themselves. Let's talk about... I just want to talk about developing leaders right away.
So, yeah. Okay.
Hey, guys, it is 2:00. I'm going to hit broadcast.
Right.
And that means the folks we have waiting to attend are going to jump on. I see Tracy Hess there. Hi, Tracy. She's joining us. We see your name. So feel free to open up your chat window. Kim Garrity, hello. Hey, Robert. Good to see you. Anybody who's joining, glad to have you with us. Feel free to open up your chat window. You should have a button up on the top of your screen, and you can tell us hello. And where are you coming from? I see Maisha. Maisha, it's so great to have you on here. Maisha loves coming to these. I feel like we need to meet in person at some point here. I believe, Maisha, are you in Columbus? Is that right? So tell us where you're coming from today. We got a bunch of great content to go through and a great panel. Of folks that are going to be talking about it. We'll wait for just a few more folks to get in the room before we get going and kind of press play and record and all that good stuff. Omero, how are things today in Chicagoland?
Very nice. A little bit chilly, but nice.
Though you're saying chilly to 3 other people on the call who are in Minnesota. And so just by... how far north we are, you're the southernmost person amongst all of us.
but keep in mind that I'm from Mexico, so.
good point. I'm wearing my vest today because it's feeling chilly up here in Duluth, and so I agree, it's winter's coming, the cold is coming. And Brian and Miguel, you guys are in the Twin Cities metro area. Brian, how's the cities today?
Actually, it's very nice. Nice weather. It's a little bit chilly. You know, it's getting that fall, but that makes it beautiful. Lots of colors.
Great. Well, why don't we kind of dive in, and if anybody else joins us, we'll just welcome them as they come. But thanks for being with us, everybody. We're so excited to have you. We are going to spend about an hour together, and we're talking today about how to partner with a La Viña church. And so within the Vineyard, we are really seeing God moving in terms of our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters and saying, hey, how do we open the door a little bit wider and make room and make a pathway for folks to plant churches and start ministries that are specifically geared towards Spanish speakers in the U.S.? And so that's what we're talking about today. Just a couple quick things. This is going to be a very interactive session. So I just saw Jenny Buhlman join us. Jenny, great to have you with us. Our hope is that we're going to engage you throughout. We're going to give you a bunch of resources as we go, and then we're going to ask you to interact with us. One way we're going to do that is through the chat window. You can open that up and say hi and tell us where you're coming from today. Jenny says from Greenlee, Colorado. Awesome. You're representing us from out west there. Good to have you with us from the mountains. We want to hear a little bit about yourself as we start. So I'm going to send over a poll. There's going to be 2 questions in here. One is, tell us just a little bit about your ministry role. And you could check all that apply to you here. Maybe you're discerning your calling in ministry, or you're a church planter. Maybe you're just kind of preparing to plant, or you planted in the past couple years. You might be a pastor, that'd be another option, or you kind of have another role as far as ministry, and you can tell us a little bit more via the chat window. And then because we're talking about ministry with Spanish speakers today, we'd love to hear a little bit about that. So if anybody is, Spanish is their first language, you could select one of those. Our first option says, Spanish is my first language, and I'm looking to start a La Viña ministry. The second being Spanish is my first language, and I already have started a Lavinia ministry. And third, Spanish is not my first language, and I'm looking to partner with others to start a Lavinia ministry. So I'll let folks just click on there. You should be seeing that on your screen. Feel free to click into those. And as you're clicking, I want to introduce our panel. So we have Homero Garcia with us. Homero is coming to us from just outside of Chicago, just outside of the city downtown in Mundelein, Illinois. He is the senior pastor there of the Lavinia and Mundelein, as well as our national kind of director as far as all things Lavinia, working and heading up our Lavinia team. Homero, great to have you with us today.
Great to be here.
Yeah. And also we have Miguel Aviles. Miguel is one of the senior pastors at the Lavinia de Burnsville in Burnsville, Minnesota. That's kind of the south side of the metro there. And Miguel's on the Lavinia team. Miguel, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to this.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir. And we also have Brian Garrity. Brian is the Compassions Ministry Pastor at the South Metro Vineyard in Burnsville, Minnesota, which is kind of the mother or sister church of the Lavinia de Burnsville. And Brian, you work tons with kind of your outreach, your food shelf there, and we're a big part in starting the Lavinia right out of your church there. So great to have you with us. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. Wonderful. And great to see Jose, who's on the call as well. We see you just joined, and anybody else who's joined, feel free to say hi and where you're coming from. Just by way of mentioning who's in the room right now, I'll come back to our poll here. So we have a handful of folks, about 40% who are discerning their call, 40% who are pastors, and then a couple other folks who are kind of have different ministry roles. And then the majority of us on our call are not Spanish speaking by our first language and are looking to partner with others to start a Lavinia ministry. Awesome. Great to have you. This is really a conversation that has a lot of that focus oriented towards English speaking pastors or vineyard churches that are going to partner with a Lavinia ministry. And we do have maybe a few folks on the call, 20% who Spanish is your first language and you're looking to start a Lavinia ministry. Awesome. We'll talk more and we want to get you connected here. So that's a good start. That's hopefully an interactive start. We're glad you're here. But Homero, I want to dive in and just hear a little bit about why this kingdom ministry stuff is inclusive. And why is it the broad kind of ministry that actually Lavinia ministry is important for everybody, not just folks who speak Spanish?
That's a great question, Justin. Yeah, I would like to make reference to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus said, "You shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world." And that was Jesus talking to a bunch of Jews. And Jesus was saying to them, you need to reach out to people who are different from you, people from a different culture, who speak a different language. And that's Jesus' vision for the church today. He wants to have a multi-ethnic, multilingual church, and that's why this is for all of us. Not just for Latinos who speak Spanish, but this is for all of us. It's a vision of the kingdom.
I love that. And I feel like that is, right? Just like pulling right from the scriptures, that's what we hear again and again, that the gospel is for everybody. The kingdom is for everybody, and it is here. You know, as we start this conversation, as folks are thinking about how do we serve Spanish speakers in our communities and begin to build relationship with them, I'd like to just hear maybe from a few folks around, well, how do you do that then, right? Because I think, Homero, a lot of us might agree the gospel is for everybody. How do you do that? How do you begin to do that and reach out and start to build relationships with folks that are different than you? Brian, what did that look like for you guys early on at Burnsville, beginning to serve Spanish speakers around you?
Well, we received a strong calling as well to be inclusive, and in one of our ministry outreaches, it's a food shelf, we were seeing about 800 Hispanic families on a monthly basis. So in language was a barrier. And part of what we do as an outreach is to minister to people. We're praying for people. And so we needed to have you know, pastoral care and coverage in one of the largest ethnicity. Well, actually, it's the fastest growing minority group in the United States, and we were seeing that in our outreaches. So it made a whole lot of sense. But you know, we had a strong vision and a strong calling that moved us this direction as well. So that was, I would say, that was one of the motivating factors. So there was even 3 years prior to this, we were receiving, you know, initiatives to build diversity, multi-ethnicity, multicultural into a lot of the activities that we were doing. So God was moving us and preparing us. And like I said, it was actually three years prior to this.
That's great. And I mean, that just sounds very Vineyard of, we want to be doing what the Father's doing. And you guys were seeing that. And there were people showing up, and you started to say, hey, how do we serve them better when you're facing some of those barriers there? Mm-hmm. One resource that we keep coming back to and we love sharing with people is to do a little bit of just the sort of demographic research in your area, your zip code, your neighborhood, right around your church. Maybe you draw from a big metro area. So one that we really love is called the ARDA. It's the Association of Religious Data Archives. Now, this is, as we look through census data, it's actually just kind of hard to wade through what's good stuff, what's hard, you know, what are the reports you want to look at. The ARDA is a really nice resource for that, in that it takes into account specific religious backgrounds. And so when I would pull this up for Duluth, Minnesota, I'd see what are the folks who are identifying as Christian and where do they identify, and who are the folks who aren't Christian. So there are, in our county, over 100,000 people who wouldn't identify as affiliated with the church. That, I mean, that piece to it is really who we were going for, is the folks who don't know Jesus, regardless of their language. Now, on a more specific cross-section of that, I want to send you a link that's specific to demographic data. There's one here, it says thearda.com/demographic map. In this, you can pull up your city. You can go to it, you can click where your church is, and then you can draw a circle however many miles you want around your church. I chose about 10 miles. And what it shows me is then much more in-depth data that draws from the census, as well as the American Community Survey, which is a little more in-depth, that goes every year. And what it showed me was, looking right around my little neighborhood in our little city of Duluth, Minnesota, one that is 90% white, there was an increase in our neighborhood of 80% in the past 3 years of Spanish speakers. So we don't have a lot of Spanish speakers, but there's a significant increase even in the past 3 years. And so that's a spot to just go to. We really like that one. Hopefully it's helpful for you. Go check out your town and your city, find where your church is, and draw the circle around it. Omero, for you, was, you know, this kind of information, do you see this as helpful for pastors, or are there some other ways that you can just go, like, connect in the community that you find helpful?
Yeah, I think I mentioned at the national conference that one way to find out if there are Latinos in your community is to use the Mr. Rogers approach. Just ask yourself, who's my neighbor? You know, who's my neighbor in my community? You know, get to know the people in your neighborhood, go to your local Walmart, you know, stand there for a while, watch the people coming in and going out, and you're going to see people from different ethnic backgrounds and speaking different languages, for sure.
That's great. I love that. That's a less technical research, but more on the ground, meet your neighbors, be there, be in places where they are. That's so good. So let's spend a little bit of our time. Miguel, I want to come to you as we begin this section, but so much of our work as pastors is about developing leaders. And along the way, Miguel, you were identified as one of those leaders. And now, a handful of years later, you're pastoring. You're pastoring a church, and you've been raised up. And I know you came initially from Omero, in his church in Chicago area there. Tell us a little bit about, for you, why it's so important to be raising up leaders again and again and again.
I think it is very important, because even, you know, Jesus says the harvest let me see if I can quote this right in English. The harvest is a lot and fewer workers. Is that right?
Yeah, got it.
So it is important for us to be identifying new leaders. Omero does that very, very well. I remember when I came to Vineyard in La Viña Mandelein in 2006. And I went up there and exposed myself. I told Omero, I used to serve at this other Pentecostal church, and here I am. And he met with us, and he ministered to us the spiritual healing and deliverance. And right after that, he said, hey, would you like to lead a marriage course? And a year later, he said, hey, I heard you feel the call to serve the community and things like that. Would you like to be part of of this discipleship group to one day hopefully be a pastor? And I'm like, yeah. So, and then we started leading a discipleship group or in a small group. And it was just powerful. The last thing, the very powerful last thing he did is to take us to Green Lake. In Green Lake, in our region, is the pastors and leaders retreat, where you see the regional leader and other pastors. And that's where I met Brian. I mean, he invested in me. He Omero took us to this meeting. He exposed us to what Vineyard is, regional, not only locally, but regional. And that's where we met Brian. And Brian was just right there, you know, with expectancy. He saw people looking like Hispanics, and he asked, he said, hey, you guys speak Spanish? Would you like to move to Brunswick to plant a church? So I know it's moving us to the next subject, but what I wanted to say is that Omero is really, I learned that from him. We have a lot of people right now that I see that they have a calling to be pastors, and we are allowing them to lead in a small group. We are allowing them to preach, and yeah, having in mind that they're going to make mistakes, but yeah, I made a lot of mistakes. We were talking the other day how Omero invited me to preach the first time, and he had two services, one with like 200 people and the other one with like 500 people. And I when he said, I would like for you to preach, and I said, yeah, in the afternoon, right, the one with 200 people. He said, no, and the morning one. I'm like, what? So I went on and preached. After I got done, I said, what do you think? He said, you know, you did well, but he told me all the good things that I did. But he said, last thing he said was, you know, you had like three messages in one. And I was laughing. I said, well, just in case you wouldn't let me preach again, I preach everything I know. So I think it's very important for us to be identifying leaders and giving them the opportunity. Not be afraid to delegate, to give them the opportunity to serve. They're going to make mistakes, but hey, I made a lot of mistakes. I'm still making mistakes, and here I am now leading La Viña Perncho. And now a lot of us, we have a team to plant the second church in St. Paul, you know, where Brian, Omero, some of us are doing this together. And the Lord has said, you know, I want you guys to plant a lot of churches in Minnesota. And now we're going with the second one. This Saturday, we're going to have the grand opening. We have already been meeting. We have a group of like 30, 40 people in there. But it's just that just because someone looked at me, identified me as a leader, it really made a difference in my life and a lot of people's lives.
That's great. I love hearing that story. Especially that you preach three messages in one. That's perfect. So Omero, as you think about kind of helping and supporting English speaking churches, predominantly white, predominantly suburban, maybe Vineyard churches, as we look at the demographics of the Vineyard, you know, you often ask this question that I hear you say of, do you have any La Viña leaders? Do you have anybody who speaks Spanish, right? Could you unpack that a little bit? That's often a question that people are going to ask initially is, do you have a leader to start investing into?
Yeah, many Vineyard churches have asked me that question. Do you have a Spanish-speaking leader that, who might be willing to move here and to start a Spanish-speaking ministry or a La Viña? And sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't have one. However, I always tell English-speaking congregations that they can start looking for that potential leader or potential church planter in other ways. You can start by praying for that person. You know, in my case, our mother church, a vineyard church here in the United States, prayed for us without knowing me for 5 years. And the Lord sent me and my wife from Mexico to the United States. And we ended up in that vineyard church. And we ended up planting a La Viña there. But it all started with prayer. So if you don't have a potential church planter who speaks Spanish, start praying for him. Jesus said in Matthew 9, you know, and Miguel mentioned that too. You know, the harvest is plentiful. Ask the Lord of the harvest for workers. So, you know, start there with prayer. And after that, I would say, you know, take some steps in faith. Start reaching out to the Latinos in your community. Start singing worship songs in Spanish, even though you may not speak Spanish. You know, it's kind of easy to sing Spanish songs. Start to do ESL in your local church. You know, do crazy things to reach out to Hispanics. And who knows, maybe the Lord will raise up your potential church planter from there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, and I love how practical even something like beginning to start a few key people around starting a leadership, you know, a ministry of teaching English could eventually down the road turn into that. Or Brian, how your story began with, wow, we're serving the food shelf in our area, and we're starting to notice that 800 families who come through here every month are Spanish-speaking primarily. And so starting to see, wow, God's doing stuff here. How do we do this well? As you think about developing leaders, we heard a little bit of the story of, you know, Miguel, you starting off. And I think a lot of people probably have those leaders, those folks they're developing, those folks that they're discipling along the way. Tell us a little bit about, now, there could be a cultural gap here if somebody is predominantly kind of doesn't speak Spanish at all, and the other person, Spanish is their first language, English is their second. That cultural gap is oftentimes the barrier or one of the barriers to really discipling well. Omer, what's been your experience with that? And we'll kind of hear from everybody a little bit on that, but what would you say to folks thinking about that gap?
Yeah, I would say that both sides, the English-speaking side and the Spanish-speaking side, have to be sensitive to their cultural differences. And in order to do that, you need to study your own culture and someone else's culture. Because sometimes we offend people because we don't know their culture. So study their culture, learn a little bit about their language, get to know them. And then I would also encourage people to get together and be very open, very honest, you know, about what's in their heart, about what their expectations are. For instance, you can have English-speaking pastor saying to a Latino pastor, you know, this is what we are expecting from you. And you can have also the Latino pastor say, well, this is what we expect from the English-speaking church. Because if you don't have that list of clear expectations, there's going to be conflict. And the idea is to minimize or eliminate conflict at all costs, you know. So one way to do that is just to sit down and talk about expectations, talk about different differences in culture, and see how can we work together? How can we eliminate that potential for conflict?
Brian, what was that like for you as you began to partner with Miguel, as you guys began to develop the ministry there, which turned into the church plant, of setting those expectations well, of having some of those key conversations that you needed to? What was that like? Tell us about that.
Well, one of the things that in our experience we did was we researched. We got involved with the Hispanic community, And specifically, I spent time with Romero and built some ideas, expectations. And then the next thing that we did was to get buy-in from our ministry leaders and our council, or our board council. And we needed 100% acceptance of the plan, and once we had that, which took time, and we weren't I believe we set some very realistic expectations that it could be a difficult, there could be times of stress, and it could be messy, not only with cultural differences, but the community of faith that we're building was also almost all new believers. And, you know, there's not, you know, you don't have like a church community. So, but, you know, you turn conflict into opportunity, and the Lord uses that. And he did that with us in our situation. But it was important, I think, that we established some initial principles. For example, we're not going to assimilate the Hispanic community or cult into our American community and culture, and you know, we were going to hold it loosely and let the Holy Spirit take it where he wants to go. And we not only served a large community in need, but we built a community of faith from it too. So that's what the Lord was doing there. So we're going through some of the similar things in St. Paul, Minnesota, as we, you know, establish a new church in the city of St. Paul.
Yeah. And I love, you mentioned that piece of, we strategically chose not to assimilate them into the current community that we're in. And that was a strategic decision. There are some churches that might say, hey, we are looking to build a multicultural community or become that. That was not your case. You were looking to develop a ministry that was, and then a church plant that was really geared towards having a Spanish-speaking expression more than it was to starting to weave them together. And we've seen that on both sides. Miguel, what? Maybe just tell us a little bit more of what was that process as you guys began fleshing out those expectations, right? Began to start to say, hey, here's what I expect from you. Here's what we expect from you. What was that like on your end, coming into a new church and then being able to fulfill those and ask for expectations?
Yeah, well, Omero and Brian did a very good job at putting this together. I didn't have any experience on that. I was just like, let me do ministry. Let me reach out to the community. Let me win souls for the Lord. But I just saw it. I just saw it how open the American church was to the Hispanics, and how it was how open they were to for us to be there and just to reach out to the lost. So I don't remember. Maybe they were, and I kind of overheard some people saying we and them. But I don't remember hearing any of that. Maybe Brian did. I think we have mentioned a little bit. Greg Perkinson kind of mentioned a little bit. Some people saying we and them. So, but Brian and the leadership did a wonderful job as to having those expectations. We felt very welcome from the beginning. I was also teaching the Hispanic community to be careful, you know. We continually pray for the American church, for the leadership. We continuously ask the community to teach our children to be careful, you know. This is the Lord's house, and let's take care of it, you know. Let's be careful, because, you know, we were serving to Hispanics, where a lot of them are very low-income families, and they have to work a 10-hour, 12-hour shift, or maybe two jobs, and where they don't have a lot of time to spend with their families and teach them manners, or even they're broken, you know. They just don't know how to. So you cannot expect them to behave from the beginning if they don't have all these values with them. So we were little by little teaching them, and I was showing them to be grateful as because you are and this and the, you know, because the Americans opened the doors for us to do church. So I was constantly telling them to be grateful and to do that. So, but Brian and Romero, Greg, they did a wonderful job at having those expectations there and to be sensitive to our culture and play out really good. It was really good.
That's great.
Justin, can I add one more thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Miguel's story to me, it's a success story. And to me, one of the keys why it is a success story is because the great relationship that Brian and Miguel have developed over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brian just didn't say, okay, would you like to come and plant a lavinia? No, he's been with Miguel and Miguel has been with Brian over the years. They've been meeting weekly or monthly. They are not only working together, they have become friends. They pray together. They're family now. Yes. So to me, that's one key element. If we want to see more success stories like this one, it is the importance of being involved in the life of the leader of both churches, the English-speaking and the Spanish-speaking church.
Yes.
And to me, that just sounds like good ministry. That just sounds like leadership development, regardless of that cultural gap we talked about that sometimes seems like such a hindrance. That's just the way that you would disciple people in your church and raise up. It would be life on life, face-to-face kind of leadership development.
Yeah.
So good. So good to hear that. Hey, I want to just pause for a sec. Hey, we would love to hear if you have any questions specifically about leadership development or as we're talking, please feel free to just shoot them over in the chat window. Cause we're not saving a bunch of time at the end for questions. We want to address them as we're going. And so, you know, we've been talking a little bit about leadership development. If you have any questions there, shoot those over. And then I'm going to share a couple resources with everybody. So one, we are sending over a link here for our Launching Leaders PDF booklets. These are produced by BUSA. There's one little shameless plug. We want you to subscribe to our blog and just get emails from us every now and then that say, hey, here's what Multiply is doing. But if you subscribe for that, you get those booklets in both Spanish and English. So you can download them PDF, use them in your church. And those are really good. We have them. We always have them whenever we go to conferences, and we often just we're out of them by the time we go because people want them. It's the IRTDMN model. It's the model that the Vineyard uses to identify, recruit, train, deploy leaders, all the good stuff. Also, I want to mention, and Omero, I want to hear a little bit of your thoughts on this, but we've just unveiled our Lavinia training program, and it's a bunch of online courses. Now, we have a whole bunch of them for English-speaking as well as Spanish-speaking church planners. I'm kind of excited to say the majority of our courses are in Spanish. And so that's a big win that we have more online training courses in Spanish than we do in English. And so Omero, you did a ton of work to help develop this. Tell us why somebody should be interested in going and checking out these courses for their English or Spanish speaking leaders.
I'll tell you why. Number one, because it's free, it's online. You can do it at your own pace. You can download resources. Every course has an introductory video, has the written down document where you can see all the content of the course. It's got great courses like inner healing, deliverance, developing leaders, church planting, Bible theology, kingdom theology, hermeneutics, homiletics, you name it, we got everything.
So good.
Spanish.
And you forgot to mention, plus, someone who looked like Antonio Bandera is teaching it.
That being Omero, you will see him in most of, not all of, but most of those courses. And he spent a lot of time sitting in front of the camera. Thank you, Omero, for that. And yeah, we put in a bunch of effort to make these available Hopefully they're helpful. Tracy Hess says, yay, exclamation point in the chat window. So go check those out. We've just unveiled them. We're really proud of them. Feel free to dive into them. We'd love to. So another question just came in from Chris, and I want to just pause and hear from the folks around it. So what's the best resource for discipling a new Christian who is a Spanish speaker? He may be unfamiliar with the Bible and theology, but has great leadership capacity. Miguel, what do you start with as you meet somebody, or Amaro or Brian? What's kind of that first thing that you begin them with? And you might have a few different resources here. So, Miguel, what would you say?
Well, the very first thing that we have here at La Viña Burnsville is to get them involved in a we call them discipleship groups. So there we have some courses that are for just for beginners. It's kind of like the passport in the which we have it in Spanish too. I haven't used it, but I'm using something a little bit different. But it's basically the same thing. It talks about you know, the first steps for a Christian, and I have seen a lot of people liking it. It's relevant. And you know, has a little bit of homework, and people take it home, and then we meet. They will meet every other week. They have a leader there to help them walk through and things like that. So the first thing we do is to get them involved in a small group. And we were just talking the other day with, because Brian is also part of our leadership, and he's very involved with us. And we talked about these things. We were thinking about instead of calling discipleship group, to call them like a friends group or family groups or something like that. Because when for a new Christian, you know, when you say discipleship group, they might get scared. So we want to encourage them. We want to make it really easy and simple for them to come in and start learning the basics of Christianity. Did that answer the question, Justin?
Yeah, absolutely. And Chris, you might, if you want to, just in the chat window there mentioned, is that hit what you're talking about, or is there any nuance around that question of this person's you know, doesn't have much English background, or are you looking for a resource in Spanish specifically? Just a note, I did send over the passport discipleship guide. It's on the Vineyard Resources site, and they have it available in English and Spanish. So it's a great resource to go and grab. That one would be a good one to look at. Brian, was there anything that you can think of sort of for that first step for folks as they're kind of starting the discipleship process?
Well, what's structured into our discipleship groups is the mentoring part of it. The small group leader or discipleship group leader is not only teaching a group or facilitating a group, but he's also building relationships. And that's especially important in yes. I've noticed over the years here that relationship with this new believer, and many times this is a new believer family, you know, so they're all new, or they're coming from an Orthodox relationship before. It's very important, and I think that's one way to overcome a lot of the obstacles that the enemy is putting up for new people. And I think that's one of the success part of our discipleship groups within La Viña. Yeah, so it's not about just teaching, but it's building key relationships. And it's usually what I've noted, I would call it mentoring because it looks like that, and we don't use that word, but that's, or maybe we do, do we, Miguel?
No.
I'm not speaking yet.
Well, hey, just for sake of time, we're going to transition a little bit on our stuff here. But Chris, thanks for the great question. If you have any more questions, shoot them in. I want to hear a little bit, and we'll go to you, Amaro, about kind of let's put some bones on this. So if somebody wants to partner with La Viña and wants to sort of begin developing relationship here, what could some of those levels of commitment look like? Because we know you're going to contextualize it, it's going to be connected to your community needs, all that good stuff, but we've developed some resources that at least give a framework. Could you walk through that a little bit, and then we'll talk about it together?
Sure. So we have this document, and in this document, we mentioned four levels of commitment from an English-speaking church to a Spanish-speaking church. And these four levels of commitments are number one, where the English-speaking church says, we would like you to use our facilities. Second level of commitment, we want you to use our facilities and also our equipment. And by equipment, I mean like our sound equipment, our sound system, our projector, our computer, our musical instruments, our photocopier, and so forth. Level of commitment number three is level of commitment number one, number two, plus we would like to help you with some financial aid, either financial aid for the church planter or for the church. And level of commitment number four includes the three previous levels, number one, number two, number three, plus we would like to help you get the residency here in the United States, because in many cases we have church planters who are undocumented immigrants. So there are some vineyard churches who are willing to help the church planter to become legalized through what is called a religious worker visa. But that, of course, involves some money. But again, some churches are willing to do that. So those are the four levels of commitment.
That's great. And I'm just going to send over a document for everybody. So just to unpack those four levels, this document was written by our Lavinia team. And what it does is it kind of says, hey, if you feel comfortable with this level, here are some of those expectations and those questions you need to be asking to your church, to your board, to your council, to possibly the planter that you already know or the leader that you're working with. And really provides a roadmap to doing that, and all the contacts with the team members like Omero and Miguel to say, hey, who do I need to know? If I'm in and I want to do the R1 visa, I want to talk to somebody who's done that before. How do I figure that out, right? So much of this is really getting behind and getting the community around you to do that. Brian and Miguel, you guys did this, right? Like you guys said, hey, we want to partner together and we want to have a few of those conversations of commitment and sort of parse out what that looks like. Brian, would you just speak to, as you think about those levels of commitment, what it looked like for you guys as a church to really commit to doing this together?
Well, one of the first things, once we had the plan, the vision, and we casted the vision, and we had acceptance of that, is that the understanding that this is a long-term commitment. This is a relationship that's going to go on. I think that was foundational to some of the things that we're doing, including working out difficulties or opportunities with equipment, areas, planning events, overlapping type of situations with the American and the Spanish-speaking churches. It kind of comes down to like what Omero was saying. It's building relations and trust through love. So, plus, you gotta try Rocio's food. She's an awesome cook. So, one of the common areas with us was food.
And so everybody knows Rocio is Miguel's wife. So just so we're wondering who's that. Right. Culture can be shared over meals. That's a great way. Miguel, what was it like in the process for you, just to go a little more in depth on this, of Burnsville committing? You know, you met Brian at a regional conference and he said, hey, do you want to come up and plant a church with us? Cause we're the Vineyard. People do that, right? Just so when you're going to plant a church, people hear that. Miguel, what was it like for you in that process as you really began to commit? And you moved up and all those things of having a church that really had some of these committed conversations and said, we're in it for the long haul.
Yes. I started to see the commitment. We had, like Omero was saying, we were having a lot of meetings with Pastor Ryan from the very beginning and you know, with praying and all that, we discerned that they were really committed. So we got committed. We say, you know what? Why don't we start going over there and start meetings? We were originally kind of start meeting every other week, And we had our first Sunday service. We noticed that like 28, 30 people showed up. We're like, and what are we going to do? We're going to let them wait 15 days to come back. And we sat down after the first service and we decided that we were going to do it weekly. So my wife and I were driving from Illinois to Minnesota every week. We would leave Illinois on Friday and we would go back on Sunday after the service. So we got really committed. We, after doing that, we moved to Minnesota. We're like, okay, this is the Lord. The Lord is really in this. Let's move to Minnesota. And a month later, of having our first service, we moved to Minnesota. We didn't even have a place. We went to live, we rented in one of those extended stay hotels. And we were there for like 5 days. We were praying. The Lord gave us an apartment right away. So we were really committed. We, because we saw the commitment in the American church. And Brian was really, really helpful. He put a lot of resources into us for us to have and to do church. So I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't know that part of the story, that you guys were driving every week from Illinois. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Putting on the miles. At some point, it probably was just worth it to move there because you needed to be close. That's awesome.
You know, we have a church planter right now that's that was doing that for St. Paul.
Yes.
Pastor Yuli, he was, you know, we started the small groups in St. Paul, and he was coming back on a weekly basis until, wow, this is more than a small group.
Yeah.
So good. So, Omero, we're talking a lot about this, and at the same time as it sounds really good and really missional, it's hard, right? And we as pastors and folks who are doing ministry, our plates can be full. It's not like we have days where we're not doing stuff. And so tell us a little bit about what you hear just around some of these barriers, right, to doing this kind of ministry. What do you hear? What do you see as a pastor? What do you feel and kind of empathize with as a pastor?
One of the most common barriers that I hear is, well, it sounds great, but I just don't have the time for that. I'm already too busy. I have my plate full. I don't have time for that. And I totally get that. But I want you to know that we have a team of people who is ready and willing to help with anything. I mean, you just provide us the name of the potential church planter and we'll take care of the rest, because we have this team of people, we have coaches, we have conferences, we have a training program, we have prayer intercessors, we have everything. So just give us the name, that's all we need. You don't have to do anything else. Another barrier that I see, that I hear a lot of people talk about is the financial side of this. We just don't have the finances to do this. And I totally understand that. But there are ways to go around it. You don't have to wait until you win the lottery to plant a church. You can start with local people, you know, who are already there, living there, working there, and who might want to plant a church with you. Or you can do what Brian and Miguel did. And Brian, you could explain this much better than me. Could you tell us how you found the support for Miguel to come all the way from Chicago to Minnesota and to provide for him and his family? Can you talk about that, a little bit about that?
Well, in our situation, we had opportunities. South Metro Vineyard Church is actually two organizations. We have a nonprofit called Vineyard Community Services, and that organization runs our, you know, community service ministries like the food shelf and dental and all that other things. And it was able to be the employer for Miguel and kept him always in church development mode. So one of the things that we did in terms of our church planting is we utilize community development principles in terms of planting. So what this does, it provided an income to Miguel and family and kept him in the church planting type of focus. and it's all about the kingdom. So that's what he that's what we did, and that way we were able to get 100% focus on church planting, and that's what we're doing right now with Yulee in St. Paul. We're leveraging our human resources, finance abilities to build a new community of faith. So it worked good for us.
Miguel, what for you, what do you think about when you think about trying to overcome some of those barriers that pastors tend to face? As a guy who is driving two states away, talk about overcoming barriers, driving two states away to be committed to the ministry. But what do you, you know, what would you say to other pastors who are wanting to get in the game but feeling, you know what, there's things in the way of that?
Yes, one is still continue to speak about ways to how within the church, how you can provide for someone who has a call to lead a small group or plant a church. I was also thinking maybe who cuts the lawn. Maybe you have a company that you're paying for $400, I don't know, $600 a month. Why don't hire maybe this person will be willing to cut the grass and do the maintenance in your church, and you will be killing two birds with one stone. You know, you're getting your church clean and your lawn done, and you also planting, getting a small group or a church planted. So, you know, I think we have to be creative. We usually think of the traditional ways to do it, but there's other ways to do it. And Brian, I mean, he did it very well. Maybe you have other type or other different ministries that you need to hire someone. Just think outside the box, and I think it could be done.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We had a question come in from Jose. He said, how can we find out if there's a Lavinia near our area, and how can we support them? Omero, how would you field that question?
Well, the first thing you can do, Jose, is to go to the vineyardusa.org website. It's, again, vineyardusa.org. And there's a tab where there's on the right-hand corner, I think there's a search space where you can look for a church. So just type in the zip code or the state, and then a map will pop up with different churches, and there's one special symbol for a Lavinia. It's special symbol, special color. So that's one way to find out. Another way is you can let me know. I would be more than happy to let you know. We have about 50 Lavinias in the United States. Most of them are in the Midwest region. Some of them are in California, but we have Lavinias in Florida, New Jersey, New York, Colorado, Arizona, in Texas, in other states. I'm sorry?
Puerto Rico,
yeah. So yeah, let us know. We would be more than happy to help you locate a Lavinia.
That's great. And I sent over those links just a second ago. Jose, you can check out the vusa.org/find and the little orange dot. That means it's a Lavinia church. So there's a legend that you'll see that you can find any that are in your rough area. And then connect with Omera if you're interested in supporting or being a part of. That would be a great way. And I sent over a link to our Lavinia page as well. So lastly, as we kind of wrap up a couple things here, we want to send over some more resources. And two of them are just other places to go where the Vineyard is producing resources in Spanish. So for our Vineyard Resources page, that's the specific page to buy any content, any booklets, any stuff that's in Spanish. And then also we have our Vineyard Digital Membership, which you buy into the membership, you get everything for free then, you get everything as you go. And there are some Spanish resources there, everything from booklets that you can print or use or send to cards that you can print out for your church. So check that stuff out. That's there. Omero, tell us a little bit. You know, we have really key resources from Phil Strout or Rich Nathan or Derek Morphew, you know, all that have been translated. How has that been helpful for you to have some of these key things vineyard resources also translated into Spanish for your use as a pastor?
Well, in two different ways. One is that we have been using those resources for potential church planters who are not vineyard. So I always tell them, you need to read these books so that you can understand the DNA of the vineyard. And of course, for our own vineyard pastors who, were attending a vineyard church, but everything was in English, we tell them that we have these resources in Spanish for you. I mean, you already know what the vineyard is all about, but if you want to find out more about the origins, about the DNA and the theology of the kingdom and all that, read these books in Spanish.
That's so good. And Tracy Hess just asked a great question. Is there any good resource for worship music in Spanish? Lyrics, chords, charts, etc. Tracy, I just sent over on the Vineyard Worship page. There's a Vineyard site called vineyardsongs.com that's run by our Vineyard Worship folks. And they have right now 51 different songs, all the chord charts, everything in Spanish. And they have a bunch in other languages as well. So if you're looking for French or Nepali or Swahili or Portuguese, there are other ones. So just super good stuff there from our Vineyard Worship friends. And there's a translations tab at the top, so you can check it out there. As we're wrapping up, we had somebody say, hey, our link to the Launching Leaders booklet is broken. I'll fix that, and we're going to send that out to everybody. Just so everybody knows, we're recording our webinar right now, and we're going to send this to you next week in your email with all the links and all the resources. And so if you just felt like we barraged you with links and resources and you didn't get to them all, that's fine. They'll show up in your inbox later, and we'll send those out to you next week. And if you want, if this was helpful for you and you think it might be helpful for somebody else, feel free to share that email or share the link once we post it on our blog next week. It's been great having folks here. Thank you for spending the time with us, spending the hour. Miguel wants to close us in prayer, and I think he has a question or a thought as we're wrapping up. Miguel, hit us.
I had this since the beginning. How do we identify a church planter? You know, there are some people that they're going to say, you know, I feel the call to plant a church, and that's great. Let's support them. Let's get them all the resources. But there will be some that don't know. But you as a pastor, as a leader of an American church, if you see someone who's been followed by two or three or more than those people, they might be the next church planter. And I suggest if they haven't mentioned the word pastor, let me plant a church, maybe just say, hey, would you like to start having a small group? Don't scare it with the word pastor, because for some people it scares them away. But just say, hey, would you like to start meeting with these people? Would you like to start sharing some Bible studies with them? And that can help you, you know. And there are other cases where they know they have a calling to pastor, but many of them don't know it, and they get scared when you say, hey, come and plant a church. So just wanted to say that, and I can pray now.
Wonderful. Go for it.
Yes. So, Lord, once again, thank you. Thank you, Father, for calling us to Vineyard, La Viña, and Lord, thank you for being interested in everyone, American, Hispanics, every culture, nations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making us part of this. Lord, give us the resources. Give us also your Holy Spirit to discern those people that you are calling to start a church, to start in a small group. Give us, Lord, discernment. Give us the resources, the money, the buildings, the places for us to plant churches. Lord, give us what we need. We want to please you. We want to extend your kingdom in the U.S. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Brian and Miguel and Omero. It's so great having you guys. And thanks for everybody for being here. Hey, if you want to join for our next webinar, we're doing one in just 2 weeks on tending marriages and growing church plants, really talking about how marriage ministry and thinking about couples as a discipleship group kind of within your community is really a great way to grow and reach out to your community. So we got a bunch of great pastors talking about that. I sent over the link there. Jenny says, amen. Thank you so much. Maisha says, thank you so much, panelists. We love having everybody here. So thanks for spending some time with us and have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll see ya.
Thank you.
Adios.
Bye.
Adios.